Welcome back. It's good to be here. Tonight's message is entitled Same But Different. And so who likes change? Who likes change? The hands go up pretty slowly, yes. I always think I'm very big on prophetic and the apostolic and moving into a new thing and new, until the new comes and I'm like, it now, my fuss. Please help me. I was going through my own trauma responses just in moving 2 kilometers the last month. I had to just like get it together, man. What's up? And so I might be big on change and big on prophecy and going out after the Lord. And yes, I'll go to the nations until we get there. And as I just jokingly said, then Edna needs to hold me and God needs to grace me and pacify my heart. But so I'm big on change, and we believe that the Lord is leading us into a season where there's change. But we need to be careful not to often just do change for change's sake. And so tonight we'll look at that very quickly. We said we've got to consecrate our hearts, consecrate our lives through what we think, our mouths, and our actions last year. We need to be so sensitive to the Lord's presence. Where is He moving? Were you sensitive towards the Lord's presence this holiday? Did He go camp with you? Did He go to the beach with you? Did He stay at home? Did He go to work with you? And so we said we need to follow Him as we saw in Joshua 3 last year. And so His presence is important because we want to cross into our promised land. Who would like this to be a year of breakthrough? Who would like this to be a year of breakthrough? Who cringe when they hear cliches in a charismatic setup like breakthrough? Great, there's a bit of balance. We need to be careful not to boom, 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 shoot a lot of stuff at the beginning of the year, get everybody all excited, and do the same that we did last year. We need to trust for real new life through His Spirit. He promised for this church 10, 12 years back, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And so in each season, we need to keep knocking. And so I want to say this will be a time of breakthrough, but we don't always know what that looks like. And so we looked at memorial stones and that we need to build on the right foundation, and I'll share on that just now. As elders, we got together this weekend, last week, had an amazing time in prayer, and just sensed that we're not going to step out of that place of trusting for new life yet. It might be March, it might be June, but until we really sense the Lord lifts that, we are going to we're going to continue just to knock and to seek for new life. But coming back to foundations, I just asked the Lord about His plans for this year, and Christ just whispered into my heart, I've got it all planned. And so the trick for me is then to just know what is He saying and what is He doing. And that I want to ask you. How are you planning for this year? Anybody, any takers, how are you planning to do this year? Anybody? Any brave soul? Yes, Albert.
Day by day.
Day by day. Okay, that's good. Joe? Day by day. Amen. Sometimes in ministry, you need to do it hour by hour. With 3 children, minute by minute. How are you planning? I know some of you guys are really sharp. And you've got Excel spreadsheets. You've got budgets. You've got things on your laptop, phone. You've got it all plotted out. And that's also cool. How are you planning for this year? Anybody? Come on. Venture out. Safe space. Share your heart. Yes. Amen. Seeking God's heart, praying and hearing and waiting until He rhemas, He speaks something, and then working goals around that. That sounds really good. That sounds really godly. Anybody else? No pressure now after that answer. Anybody else? How are you planning for this year? Are you planning for this year? Dish, how are you planning for this year? Meticulous. Tish will not share all of his secrets right now, it seems. But the thing is, we need to plan. 2 people, Debia in a braai the other night, and then Pietri at the elders' meeting, both alluded to the same thing, and we need to look to Christ when we think about planning. That sounds very obvious. But I love, and you know, this is a very big part of my theology and my understanding in following God. John 5 reads as follows. Then Jesus replied, I assure you the Son is not able. The Son, Jesus Christ, is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Imagine Jesus, of all people, saying, I cannot do anything. I can't do anything without seeing what the Father is doing first. How amazing is that? And if Jesus said that, guess what, mere mortals, in Jesus, we might also need to look to the Lord. It goes on to say, for whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. And so he just is a good dad and a good son. He just follows what his Father did at that stage. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. And so we sang about our eyes. We sang about this whisper, hearing God and seeing Him. And I believe it is so apt for what I'm sharing. It's that we need to be reminded of the simplicity, but also the power to do as Christ did. So if I rock up at your home, if we rock up at Vito at our home on the stoop and we have a coffee, a pastoral coffee, the one thing I want to hear is, what is God doing? I don't want to hear what you're doing. I say that with love, tongue in cheek, to a slight degree. But I want to know, what has God imparted in your life? What, like Nita shared, what did He show you in prayer? What did He show you in a place of intimacy? What did He show you in His Word? What is He currently busy with? And so are you doing that with Him? Because that is the life of a disciple. That is the life of a Christian. Is to do as Christ did. And so that really just stirred something in my heart. Let that be the litmus test again for our year. Not the budget firstly and foremost, and I'm not locking that. Not my own plans and own goals and own things, but let me go to the Father first and say, Lord, are you there? God, are you there? God, are you busy with this, or is this just me? And so if we want to really have a good year, maybe not an easy year, but a good year, we're going to do it that way in which we've been shown by Jesus. So then I want to say, am I doing what I'm doing with the Father? And likewise, you can ask me about the church and the eldership and the leaders and all of the things we do, is to say, hey, is God actually doing that, or is that just a good idea? And so I believe that's a place where we can just lay down our lives. And so the first point there I just quickly want to bring to our attention is, and I call it the supernatural shift. The supernatural shift. It's that sometimes we're going to continue with the same old. It's going to be same but different. And so the only one that can add the but different, I believe, is God Himself, is Christ Himself. And so we've got this expectation for this new year, and we're going to go into the promised land, and there's going to be breakthrough and hoo-ha and new life, and yes, yes, yes. But what do we have to do now? Do you have to change everything all of a sudden? I just pose the question. Do we have to change everything we do? Maybe you individually, maybe you in your marriage, maybe you in your friendship, in your small group, in church. Do you change everything all of a sudden? Because there's this promise, there's this weightiness, there's this expectation, this pregnancy of something new, some form of breakthrough. Do you change everything? Anybody? Do you? Yes and no, I guess. Again, if God says change, change. Please. Pharisees and religious folk will love to just stay the same, and they cannot hear for the life of them, hear God, if change is coming. And so we need to be humbled so that we can hear. But do not change just for change's sake. Do not change just for change's sake, if that makes sense. And we need to be careful, and I'll show you why I say that. Again, I want to implore us, it needs to be from a place of intimacy. Dad, what are you doing? Dad, what are you doing? Christ showed us, Dad, what are you doing? So keep on connecting. Unless He says change, don't. But if He says change, don't wait. You need to be obedient. You need to be instantly obedient, because Christ alone will be the difference. He will bring the supernatural shift. Who wants to see in areas of their lives a supernatural shift? As you can see, it's been a month since I've preached in English, so I need a supernatural shift. Need to be careful as well. And so we need Jesus for the supernatural shift, and we don't need to make our own plans. It was just so bang on right with the Hoofy shared. Don't DIY yourself through this year, spiritually especially. No, no, don't worry. You just sit back. God, I've got this. I'll fix this. No, don't DIY. Say, Dad, I need help. Dad, the pipe needs fixing. Dad, I don't know how. Dad, what are we doing? Dad, come on, show me how to do this. Dad, are we doing Bible study? Dad, are we joining a small group? Dad, are we going to church? I know what he's going to say, by the way. Dad, what are we doing with our finance? Dad, what are we doing with our off time? Dad, what about this hobby? Is this you or not? Dad, what are we doing at work? What are we doing about that colleague that really needs salvation? Dad, where's my heart? What are you busy with? And so I want to implore us not to change for change's sake, but when he speaks, you need to move. So keep reading the word. Keep praying. Keep pursuing. Keep going. Keep pitching. Keep working. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Everybody goes, yeah! It's a good word, eh? Who loves that? It excites you. Thank you, Johan. No, it's not necessarily something you'll always hear, but God calls us to be faithful. Sometimes he calls you for a long season just to firstly be faithful and then let him breathe upon that. Let him change that. As you bring the same, he brings the different. As you just bring the same, he brings the different. I've seen that with our children. There'll be an issue, something, and it just grinds you. And you call out to God, but you just constantly try to bring the same. And then one day, Frida walks in and says, I need to be baptized. And you're like, what just happened? I thought it will be a tug of war for a number of years. And she just walked in after we had prayed the previous evening. Boom, he brings the difference. It wasn't me that manhandled her and controlled her into the situation. She just came in and he just gave that moment. And I don't know what you are facing, but I believe the Lord says, be faithful, I will bring the difference. And so a quick testimony. I've referred to these folks before because they just, God's grace upon their lives just boggles me. Who's ever heard of the Moravian community? Who's ever heard of them? A couple of, who's not heard of the Moravian community? And so it's a couple of folk. There's something to read up there, and you can go and Google. Well, be careful with Google all the time, but you can go and Google and read a couple of things. But the Moravians, they were from Saxony. That's a place in Germany. And they started in 1727. They started around-the-clock prayer meetings, an hour-by-hour slot, 24-7. Guess what? Don't read. How long did they keep that prayer meeting going? How long? For 100 years. Now, if I have 10 people at intercession on a Thursday night, I go like, yes, Jesus, we are going places. If we've got 5.5 people sitting in there in front of church with intercession, praying their hearts and lungs out, I'm like, yes, we're going to change the nation. They went about it for 100 years nonstop. Anybody keen to? I've got a list here. Are we gonna start one? Anybody keen? Anybody keen? Dad's going like, oh, I had to block myself. Sorry, but it is by the grace of God, and I joke about it, but I read these things, so I'm like, what, Jesus? But here's the beautiful thing. 65 years after they started to pray, like you can start as an infant, and then you can go on pension, and you've been praying a lot with the community. But in that first 65 years, it is said that they sent out 300 missionaries that changed the nations. Does this grip your heart? Does this still grip your heart? And then the obvious two things is that, is there a correlation between proper prayer and constant prayer and seeking God and being evangelical and actually reaching the nations? Yes, there is. I'm just putting it out there as a good testimony. We want to see people flock into this church, getting saved and hearing the gospel, their lives being changed. It is not, does not necessarily start with hitting the streets first. It starts on our knees. That was actually not where I was going with this. But here is where I was going with this. There is a paragraph that says, during the first 5 years of existence, the Hernet settlement showed few signs of spiritual power. By the beginning of 1727, the community had about 300 people, was racked by dissension and bickering. So they did not get along for 5 years. Who's ever not gotten along for 5 years with somebody? Don't raise your hand. It was a very unlikely place for a revival, but here's the thing. Do you know how long 5 years is? We might joke now, yeah, intercession this, praying that. 24-7, they've been praying for 5 years. I don't know, I have not been doing that, and neither have you. That is a long time to wait for some breakthrough. That is a long time not to say, this does not work. That is a real long time of doing the same, 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 and not seeing the different. But yet there's one day in the sovereignty of our God. There's always that one day for the faithful. There is that one day for those that relentlessly seek, for those that truly bring their hearts to Him. There is that one day. And for some, it might take 5 years, for some, 13 years. But there is that one day. And I want to prophesy to some of you, there will be that one day if you stay faithful by His grace. Because after that, obviously, revival happened and it went on for 100 years thereafter. It said there in the beginning, and I'll just conclude with that last sentence. The whole place represented truly a visible habitation of God among men. So for 5 years, they've been praying, they've been pursuing, nothing happens. Yawn, nothing. Creak, creak, nothing. In fact, they just don't get along. That's about the fruit they had. But then they pursued their God. They knocked, they seeked, they asked. And then it came and it was as if God was staying with them, chilling out with them, living with them. Who would love to? We've had a fair bit, I believe, of God's presence and grace in this place and even tonight. But I would love us to be not known for anything but God's presence. What else are we doing as Christians? Why did Jesus come? To what? To restore presence, to restore relationship. So how cool would it be to be known for God's presence in our midst? But are we willing to be part of the 24-hour prayer group that goes on for 5 years and just not getting along? So three things I believe that is important in the season as we kick off the year and plan and seek our dad is, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Second thing is, be humble. Look at your neighbor and say, be humble. They're like, don't look at me like that. That's not humility. Then you say again, be humble. Second thing is, be humble and then stay close. That is not stay close firstly to the church people and to the body. That is firstly stay close to Christ. But it is an absolute contradiction to think that you can stay close to Christ and not stay close to His body. For He's the head of His body. So if you've got an idea of Jesus as this head that just rolls around on His own, not having a body, then we've got a false idea of who Christ is. Being close to Christ through His Holy Spirit also means that you are close to physical people that is part of His body, the bride. Might look different in different people, but take care that we don't fall for that fallacy, that lie that our culture like to believe that me and Christ, we're cool. But me and church, no, we don't get along. Christ is the head of His church, the bride, the body. Anyway, here's the actual word that I want to share with you today. You know it, I've preached on it before, but it really is something that stirred in my heart before in this week. Let's quickly jump into that for the sake of time. Luke 5, let's read together. The first disciples, as the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, He was standing at Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake, and the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. When he had sat down and started to teach the crowds from the boat, when he had finished speaking or teaching, in other words, the crowd that was on the land, he said to Simon the following, and here we need to note, and you know, probably know the story, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Had no success. And then he replied, but at your word, I will let down the nets. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So it was obviously quite massive. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that it began to sink. So there was a fair number of fish that was caught. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me because I'm a sinful man, Lord. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. Don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon. From now on, you'll be catching people. Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. Everybody knows the story. But I believe a lot of what has been said prior to the message and in this message is important for us. Is that firstly, you see a bunch of fishermen here. What can fishermen do? They can fish, right? So it's like me rocking up at Rubicon saying, "Hey, Rob, hey, Nick, I just want to tell you something about electricity. Let me tell you something. I think you should put that wire on that wire." And they'll think, "Excuse me, but who the heck are you to come and tell us? Who are you, carpenter son? Who are you, little carpenter, to tell me?" Here's the thing. Fishermen knows how to fish. They know what to do. They know even the season and the circumstances. Because guess what? All night long they've been trying to fish. And here the rabbi, here the master, here the teacher comes and he says, "Hey, I've got an idea." Who likes that type of ideas when people come to you? Come on. All the humble folk go, "Yes, sure." Who likes to be told what to do? Who likes to be given a plan that you know does not work? Pietri, you love those, nah. That's kind of your go-tos. That smile says everything. No, we despise those moments. We're like, excuse toch? Fis, ik, hier, near. But he did not have that attitude, and I believe that attitude is what we need, what I need. Verse 5, "Master," Simon replied, We've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But at your word, I'll let down my nets." It's a beautiful moment of firstly just bowing the knee of his heart before he later on literally went on his knees. He went and he bowed his heart before the Lord. And so you can go to the next one. Three things stands out. Thank you. There's three things that I see here. Firstly, it's master. Second thing that we see there is, we've worked hard. And then the third thing is, but at your word. And here's the thing, now you can start connecting the dots in your life. Anybody starting to connecting the dots? I'm not talking fishing. I actually went to go fishing and I just started, where's the land? I just need to look at the land, look at the land, look at the land, look at the land. And we didn't catch any yellowtail. Look at the land, look at the, I get seasick. So, no, I don't, in Jesus' name. I need to fight the sin of seasickness. So I know what it feels like going out and not catching anything, but we're going to take this a bit further. What are the areas in your life that you've been working hard at, that you've been giving it your all, and then you've not seen that breakthrough, you've not had that fruit? Anybody have anything like that? A relationship, your finance, an habitual sin, a friendship. There might be something in your season, a breakthrough that you've not seen. You've been trusting God for a spouse. You've been trusting God for a kid. You've been trusting God for a car. You've been trusting God for another color of car. I don't know what your battle is. But there's something in all of our lives. And here we learn so much from Simon. Firstly, he comes and he replies, not, "Excuse me, carpenter's son. Excuse me, what do you know about fishing, with all due respect?" No, he immediately says, "Master." And so I want to pose that question. How is the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives? When he comes to and says something that might even offend you, or irk you, or just like throw you over, is your immediate response, "Yes, Lord"? Is my response, "Rabbi, teacher, or master"? I looked at different translations. Is it master? We live in a culture, we live in a day and an age where something like that is absolute taboo. How can you call anybody master? Like, a boss needs to twinkle toes around his employees these days and just make everything so nice and dandy for them and make it so easy for them. And yet, so when we have the lordship of a holy God, it's kind of weird to the flesh. But I want to just implore all of us, make sure that the lordship and the response of master is still in your heart. The second thing, we've been working hard. He just states the obvious. You may be honest with God. "God, I have tried. Lord, I've really tried. I've really prayed for that relationship. Lord, I've really prayed for that friendship. Lord, I've really prayed for my finance. Lord, I've tried my absolute best." Anybody like that? "I have tried." Come on, there might be more. Anybody like that in a situation? "But Lord, I have given it my all." And then maybe in your heart you start giving up. Maybe your heart even gets a bit hardened. Maybe you've lost hope. And so then the third thing, and here's the beautiful part, "but at your word, but at your word. And then it's that rhema place that Nita referred to. Who knows what a rhema word is? We've spoken about whispers and when God... Who knows what a rhema word is? Anybody? What is it? Unless... Krap jy of sê jy of steek jy hand op? Nee, hey? It's a word that is alive from God for you. Yes, personally. Yes, absolutely. How does it come? It can come through the word of God. You read the word and all of a sudden something stands out. You can listen to a song. Somebody can bring a word here and it just rhemas to you. Somebody can prophesy. So there's a way in which God speaks to you. We all know, many of us know this, but I also just want to make sure it is when He speaks to us. Who's ever heard God's voice and you know this will definitely be? Who's ever heard God's voice and that's given you enough faith just to follow Him? Anybody? Who loves those moments? Who knows that the moment of following through when you've heard His voice is not always that easy? Amen. So three things we see here from Simon that we're learning in this as we set ourselves up for this year. He says, He's given it His all. He's worked hard. He knows fishing. He knows the conditions. He knows this is impossible. And then God, through His Son Jesus, asked Him to do exactly the same. It's like that relationship that really hurts you, that friendship that really hurts you, and then Christ saying, go back. Forgive one more time, go back. That thing that you just cannot shake out of your system, that you cannot just get rid of, and the Lord says, try again. That place that you've given up on. It might for some, well, you are in church, but for some people out there, they might have given up on local church because they've been hurt and they've given up on that. And then Jesus says, hey, I call you back. And then what is your response? And then we need to hear His heart. And so I want to ask you, like Jesus followed the Father, when God speaks, will we listen? What are the places where you need to hear His voice again that you will not give up so that you may see the breakthrough? What are those places? Four things. I mentioned it earlier, three of them. Don't lose heart. Be humble. In other words, position your heart. Third thing is stay close to Him. Be connected to Him. And then the fourth thing I want to say is recognize a God moment. Church, recognize a God moment. Simon could have said, we didn't catch anything. There's no way. We've already washed the nets. They're packed away. Sorry, it's not going to happen. But something in him realized this is a God moment. Here's the thing of a God moment. It might look exactly the same as the nine times before this, but this is the God moment. Imagine the Moravians had given up on 4.5 years. They're like, okay, it was a nice prayer meeting, but we're done now. They pitched again. They pitched again. They were faithful and they kept coming again, and God decided, here is the absolute breakthrough that sustained them for 100 years. On being humble, let's just quickly learn from Simon again. In verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me because I'm a sinful man, Lord. For he and all those who were amazed at the catch of fish that they took. Let's just take this into account. This is his business. This is his living. He lives off fish, right? Up until the day when he catch fish and sells it, he lives, right? So put it in your context. It's like your salary being tripled or 4 times over all of a sudden. Or when you've got this deal that is just better than anything. The boat is sinking so big as this deal. The favor that God has given you is just so big. God just opens up the door in business, or you just have the success in your ministry, whatever it might be. And it's just clearly, boom, God doing this. What is my response? What is your response to favor? What is your response to grace? Because here the thing is, and listen up, our response to grace is so important. The key to receiving grace is humility. He didn't say, I listened to him, I got the prophetic word that I should let down the nets again and look at what I've done. He didn't boast. He didn't say, check out this deal. No, he said, hey guys, come and help me. I want to share this blessing. He didn't get a haughty, prideful heart in that moment. Guess what? He realized when he saw that this was absolute grace, humility got hold of his heart. So I want to pose the question to us. When we have breakthrough, when God does something miraculous in our life, what is our response? If new life, as we've been seeing new life here and there, comes into your small group, into your relationships, into your friendships, into church, and we just see these new life coming. But if a wave of revival hits us, what would our response be? Will we go down on our knees and say, Lord, thank you for this absolute grace? Or will we go around saying, hey, Shofar Table View is the place to be? It might be that guy's shirt. No. The response will be, Lord, I'm a broken man. I need you more. Part for me. How can you give me such grace? And how beautiful is Simon's heart. And church, we need to remain in that place. Not a woe is me attitude, but remain in that place. If God does bring that massive catch, that we will stay in that humble place as Simon did. When he lifts you up in business, and he really blesses you big time, or in your ministry, or whatever it is that you are pursuing for, be careful that we remain in this place of humility, because we need to be in that place to remain and keep the blessing of God. And then lastly, don't be afraid, Jesus told him, verse 10, half of 10 and 11. Thank you. Don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon, from now on you will be catching people. Then they bought the boats and land and left everything and followed him. Please don't let this flight you by as we close. Please do not let this flight you by. Who's trusting God for breakthrough this year? Who's trusting God for something very specific, a specific promise this year? Come, be bold. God knows what it is. Who wants to see this type of breakthrough? Amen. Who will know that following Christ will still trump the breakthrough and the promise? Just imagine you're a fisherman. This miracle happens. Two boats full of fish. And then Christ just again speaks to you and he says, follow me, you'll be catching people from now on. What happened to the massive catch? What happened to the massive catch? What happened to the massive catch, guys? What happened to the miracle? They walked away from the miracle. They followed Jesus. They said people, and the salvation of people is even more important than the breakthrough. We need to petition for the breakthrough, but never forget that following Christ is the most important, and that the breakthrough is always should always be subject to people and the salvation of people. Just imagine your biggest breakthrough and God saying, come, the salvation of people is even more important than that. More important than that deal, more important than that house, more important than that amazing thing. And all of that might be good and godly, but if he calls you, will we have that heart of the salvation of others? So here the fisherman then walks off and they realize that he's going to make them fishers of men. Who of you want to be fishers of men? Who of you wants the breakthrough? And so, I don't know, I have uncomfortable moments in my heart sometimes. I need to be careful. How much am I pursuing that breakthrough? How much am I pursuing that catch? How much am I pursuing that thing that God wants to birth? But do I remember that the salvation of many is as important, if not more important, to the Lord? Do you want to be catching people? Church, do you want to be catching people? Church, do you want to follow Christ and be catching people? I believe if God the Father walks in and we say, we want to follow, we want to do as you do, salvation is on the forefront of his heart. Yes, your breakthrough is important. Yes, the great catch is important. Yes, your business is important. Yes, your family is important. But eternity, with heaven full of souls, I believe is the Father's heart. And he's called us as a church to, like the Moravians, to be a praying people so that we can be an evangelical people and so that we can, like the disciples, actually be catching people even more than we catch breakthroughs. How does that sit with us? How does that sit with my Western ideas? And so let's go into prayer. Will you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, you are the Lord of the great catch. You are the Lord that speaks into our moments where we've almost given up and where we need to cast our nets again. And you're in that moment, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we ask that you will come through your Holy Spirit now and minister to hearts that have maybe in some areas of catching fish, whatever it might be waiting for a spouse, it might be a relationship that needs to be restored, it might be that breakthrough that they need or an habitual thing that they've been struggling with in their hearts or lives, whatever it is, Lord, just highlight that so that we can bring it to you in this moment. And then, Lord, we don't want to preempt what you are saying, but I pray that if you are calling some of us to cast our net in spite of, again, that we will do so tonight. You might have a calling for ministry. You might have a specific calling for ministry that the Lord has given to you, maybe a space or a place or a type of thing that He's called you for a number of years. And you've given your heart and you've given your life and your prayer for it, but it's not happened. You've not seen that catch. Maybe tonight the Lord is calling you to cast your net again. If there's an area in your life where you've not seen the catch, where you've caught nothing but you've given everything and you want to ask Christ to speak into that place, will you just raise your hand? Raise it nice and high, like somebody that wants it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of these hands, Father. Thank you for this grace, Lord. Thank you for a humble moment where you said, Lord, we've not seen the catch that you've promised. We've not seen the one thing that we've toiled for, Lord, but here we are again. Will you now speak, Lord? I don't have the liberty, but Lord, for those and in those areas where I may speak, Lord, I pray that you will ask us to cast our nets again. As a church, we cast our net again for more new life. As a church, we cast our net again for catching people to be saved. Lord, as a church, we cast our net for marriages and families to be restored. Lord, we cast our net for children and people to be saved from prostitution and from drug abuse and from all kinds of stuff that is going on in our area. We cast our net. Lord, for those that are in financial trouble and have been there and for a number of years, we come partner with them and we cast our nets for breakthrough, Father. For those, Lord, with work issues, Lord, and things just not working out for them in their work life, Lord, we come alongside them and we want to cast our net again. And then we just say, Lord, we continue to do the same. Will you bring the different? Will you bring the supernatural different? Will you bring the catch, Jesus? Just stay in that moment and ask Him for a specific word for your situation. Thank you, Father God. If somebody's given up on a baby, Lord, I pray that they will just cast their net again. We just thank you for that, Lord. As a church, we cast our net for your will, for your kingdom to come. As a church, we cast our net and we say, Lord, have your way. But ultimately, Lord, we are reminded from your word that the salvation of people are your heart. That catching men for eternity is even more important. So we cast our net for that and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for healing in hearts, healing of hope, and healing of faith. And thank you, Father God, for miraculous catches of breakthrough in Jesus' name. All God's people said, Amen.